Okay, the boys, today's daf is daf Pei Aleph. We're starting the last line of Pei Omid Beis, where the Gemara is quoting from the Mishnah, HaSoris SheCholatz LiYevem Toi Loi Pisalah. We have a case of a Soris, who was the Yavam, and he gave a Chalitza to his Yavama. Says our Gemara quoting from the Mishnah, he does not passel her. What means he doesn't passel her? In case she subsequently wants to go and marry a Koyin, no problem. What do you mean? She just had a chalitza. Didn't you say that a grusha of a chalitza is asura l'koyim? That's when it's a bona fide chalitza. Here it's not a bona fide chalitza. Why is it a bona fide chalitza? Because since he happens to be a soris, she doesn't fall l'yibam or l'chalitza to him. Which soris are we talking about? Okay, that's a machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lezer and a Mishnah, whether we're talking about a soris Adam or a soris Chama. Whichever soris it is, that is possible for purposes of chalitza, where it says in the Mishnah, loy cholitz v'loy cholzin liyishtoi, so then any chalitza that is performed is meaningless. That's, however, not the focus of the Gemara. The focus of the Gemara is on the v'chuli, and that is that the Mishnah continues on, that if instead of giving chalitza, v'im bi'olua, if he went and did bi'ah, then he does passel her. What's the reason why he passels her if he has beer? Explains Rashi, because it's very, very simple. Since we just said now that she doesn't fall liyibon lechalitza to this fellow, but this fellow is her brother-in-law, it's a case of an eishes ach shaloi b'makai mitzvah. No, so she engaged now in an iser kares, and therefore she becomes passel likun. Says Igmar, tama debala hu. It sounds like only because her Yavam, who was the Saris, was boiler. Ha'acher, what happens if there's stama person from the street that comes and is boiled this Yavama? Why? It sounds like she would not become Psula Likahuna. So tomorrow, let me tell you after Rav Amnuna. L'choy that Shemer Rav Amnuna, the Amar. Rav Amnuna said that Shemer is Yavam. Our case is Shemer is Yavam. Shezinsa, if she was Mizana, in other words, she lived with someone else prior to Yibam or Chalitza, Psula Liyavama, she becomes possible to her Yavama, and in turn she becomes possible to the Kohen. Why does she become possible to her Yavama? Explains Rashi, because Rav Amnuna holds that a Shemeris Yavam, because of her Zika, is almost like an Eishes Ish. And just like an Eishes Ish, if she's Chas Shalom Mizana Meirotzoin, she becomes Asura Lebala. Here too, the Shemeris Yavam, this Yavama, because she was Mizana, becomes Asura Labala, meaning to the Yavam. Why did she become Asura to the Yavam? Because she's a Zoyna. If she's a Zoyna, then she becomes also the Koyin as well. Since our Mishnah could only conjure up a case of when does she become a Zoyna and also to a Koyin, when the Yavam himself, the Soris, lived with her, Izach Mashva and Acher, somebody else, would not passel her to the Koyin. Therefore, it's L'chay Yishver on Rav Amnuna. Every more like, who had in the Afilo Acher Nami? Anybody in the street, had he lived together with Shemeris Yavam, according to Rav Amnuna, she would have become a Zoyna and a Sura, the Koyin. V'yayri the Tana Reisha b'didei, Tana Nami Sefer b'didei. Since the Reisha, which is the first part that the Gemara quoted, the Soresh Shecholet Yivem Toi Loi Psalah, we needed to go and tell us that then, that Chalitza is meaningless, and therefore she does not become Psul Lekoyim. No, since we're talking about the Soresh, we continued on, that if that very same Soresh, however, was boiled her, then he does pass the Lekoyim. But we didn't have any intention of excluding anybody else being Mizana with her. Sure, Rav Amnuna could very well be right that anybody else who lived with Shemeres Yavam, she becomes a Zoyna and Psul Lekuna, but you have really no raya from our Mishnah. Yes.
So what is the path when a woman is forced to chalitza or yibum to a saris?
Yeah.
She's not muteris the shuk because she's Shomeris Yavam.
But why is she not muteris
the shuk? No, I'm saying. So what's your What's your status? What's your way of now becoming part of another couple? Does she require chalitza? No, chalitza is meaningless.
What happened to multiple brothers?
And one brother. I'm asking a case where there's only one option.
Okay.
There's one Saris brother.
Yeah, I hear you. What was the story back on Daf Beis Amud Aleph when we learned the first Mishnah? If you have that, the...
It's an Erva, you don't need anything.
Exactly, you don't need anything. She's totally off the hook, she doesn't need anything. Right after the Shiva is over, we can go and call up Shadchanim and find out whether there's a potential Shidduch for this young lady.
Three months, though.
I didn't say that she'd get married. You normally get married one time.
So wait a second.
It could be love at first sight, but you got to take time till you prepare for the wedding.
So in the case of this woman, she's basically Sumitaris Lashuk Miyad.
If the only Yavim on the scene is Saris, then she becomes totally Mutar Lashuk.
So what's this that she becomes? So if she does have a fling with someone,
yeah,
she becomes a Zona. That's what possible. It's being Mizana that's possible to her to Kuna.
For sure.
Okay. It's independent of her status as Shemaris Yavim.
Well, it's because she's a Shemaris Yavim.
Okay, so a Panuya, except for that one month Omar, is Panuya. Panuya does not become a Zona. It's only because she's post marriage in a Shemaris Yavim situation.
And she has a Zika.
And so she's vulnerable. So this is only
Rav Amnuna.
The only way for her to rejoin a couple now is through Kupan Kedushin, and that's it.
If she's totally free of the Zika, because the only Yavam happens to be either a Saris or happens to be a Chiyav Karis, an Erva, like we had in the first Mishnah, right. Rabbi Kiva, even a Chiyav Yilavin, Chiyav Yilavin Nishe'er, Rabbi Chiyav Yilavin, in all those cases, there is no din of Yibam, no din of Chalitza, and she's free to go and marry to anybody she wants to.
Okay.
Good.
If she's passing on, but if she's Zinsa, she's...
She'd only be Zinsa if she's Shemeres Yavam.
Right,
there's no Yavam that she's Shemeres for.
So she'd be passing for the kahuna, and she couldn't do yibum. She'd have to do chalitza, I assume.
She can't do chalitza.
Pardon?
Why not? You're talking about two separate cases. What Brother Shai is saying is, what about a Shemeres Yavam that is waiting for a Yavam to decide to make a yibum?
No, Hamnuma's case.
So therefore, we do not have a Saris. We do not have an Erva. We have a Yavam who is a finer Yavam, and she's a finer Yavam.
There's a Zika connection.
That is a Zika connection. If she is Mizana, then she cannot go and marry this young man. She's Mizana with somebody else.
Right.
She cannot go and marry the Yavam, but she would go and be required to have a Chalitza.
Okay, thank you.
Good, you're welcome.
Can you differentiate between the Saris Chama and the other Saris, and how the...
Do you want the short speech or the long speech?
Forget it. I don't want to talk about
it. If you go back to Ayin Tes Amid Beis, Ayin Tes Amid Beis. Turn back. Ayin Tes Amid Beis.
I'm always forward looking.
Me too. We're looking already to the next master, Mitch, in 7.5 years. But do you see the mission on Ayin Tes Amid Beis? Amid Beis. That's B. 79B. Yeah. In my Gemara, it's 158.
Okay,
you have that?
Yeah.
Do you see there's a Mishnah at the top?
Yeah.
The question that you are asking already was posed by Rabbi Yeshua already about 1,800 years ago.
Okay.
What did it say in the Mishnah? Umar Rabbi Yeshua, Shemati, I heard, Shehasoris choleitz v'choltzin l'ishtoi, he is capable and authorized to go and do a chalitza, or if he passed away, that his brother should do a chalitza for his wife. But he also heard that Saris loy choleitz v'loy choltzin l'ishtoi. And therefore, that sounds like it's inconsistent.
So that's why a bifurcation.
Oh, what? Okay. So Rabbi Yeshua says, the end of the parish, I don't know what to say. Either is it cholitz v'cholitzin, or is it loy cholitz v'loy cholitzin? Amr b'kiva ani afarish, I will explain. Sris Adam, cholitz v'cholitzin. Sris Chama, loy cholitz v'loy cholitzin. And then Rabbi Lazar Omer, going down 5-6 lines, loy. El sris Chama, cholitz v'cholitzin. And sris Adam, loy cholitz v'loy cholitzin. So there's a difference between a Sris Adam and a Sris Chama. Your follow-up question is, but what's the definition of a Sris Adam and what's the definition of a Sris Chama?
Mm-hmm.
Sris Chama, in simple terms, there is much to add to the equation. But in simple terms, a Sris Chama means someone who is born sterile.
Mm-hmm.
That, unfortunately, that was genetic. He was born that way,
right.
Sterile.
His parents were not sterile
mm-hmm. because they gave birth to him.
Right.
But Baruch Hashem, they were not sterile, but unfortunately he is. That's a Sris Chama. Sris Adam, however, is he only became sterile later in life. either because of a terrible accident, a car crash, chas v'shalom,
right,
or he had some debilitating disease, mm-hmm, and he became sterile. So that's Riz Adam later on in life.
From birth, ones.
Exactly. So which one does have chalitza, which one does not have chalitza? That's Machlokes Rebbe Akiva and Rebbe Lezer in the Mishnah.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I'm delighted that you're here, that you're asking questions, and we're up to the fourth line of Pei Aleph Omed Aleph, and the Mishnah continues. Until now we only spoke about the menfolk. Let's not discriminate. Let's talk about the ladies. What happens if you have a lady who's nebuch and eilis? An eilis means a lady who is sterile and cannot have a child, unfortunately. Shecholtz lo achen. If the achen went and did a chalitza, again it's a meaningless gesture because she doesn't fall a chalitza. She cannot be make him the ochiv shame be Yisra. What happens, however, if if one of the yavams went and was boil her, once again she becomes a zoina and she would become asura to kahuna. What's the reason for that? Again, because it's an eishes ach shaloi b'mokoi mitzvah, which of course is an iser kareis, and therefore she becomes also forever to kohen. So Timur Tama de Balua, that's dafka because one of the Yavams lived with her. Haloi Balua, if they didn't live with her, life, then there wouldn't be any issue. There wouldn't be any Yivam v'chalitza. She can go to, say to the Shadchanim, I'd like to marry anybody, even a Kohen. Just not the Kohen Gadol, because I'm an Almana. But otherwise I want to marry anybody, including Kohanim. So Timur Kiman de Lek Rabbi Yehuda, L'chor HaMishon does not shtim with Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda Omar, Eilanis Zoynehi. Rabbi Yehuda back on Daf Samach Aleph in the Mishnah said that every islandess is a zayin. Now, not that Chas v'Shalom we're saying that every islandess is a prostitute. Chas v'Shalom. An islandess Nebuch is of Kitzoris, that Nebuch, she unfortunately is sterile and cannot have children. We just mean that for purpose of marrying a Kohen, she is disqualified. Why is she disqualified? So the Gemara brought a pasuk. If you want to open the air conditioner, it's totally
open. Open the door better. Open the door.
Well, don't forget the noise from the air conditioner, other air conditioner. If you want.
Right? Is it on?
That window's open, so
we can close it.
Okay.
Whatever you like. No, it's apparently the other air conditioner is either silent.
So doing windows or AC?
Okay, you stand up, David. Do your job.
Y'all will. All right.
I don't want
to work so early in the morning.
We figured you are experienced in turning on air conditioners because of your lengthy stay in Florida. Should we call it a vacation? No. Anyway, if we go back to the Mishnah on Samach Aleph Omid Aleph, Samach Aleph Omid Aleph, Mishnah on the bottom of the Omud, there are three Mishnayos on Samach Aleph Omid Aleph. 61a. It's the final Mishnah. If you look in the Mishnah, the second line, at the end of the line, all the way in the bottom of the Omud, Lo Yisa Ailanis, Shehi Zoinahu Amura Batoira. Ailanis is one of those that qualify, unfortunately, as a Zoina, that she cannot marry a Kohen. What's the reason for that? Now we turn to the Omid Beis, Samach Aleph Omid Beis. You look at the fourth line from the top. Omer Avuna Maitaimed Rabbi Yehuda Dechsivit is a Pasik. Bushtein Pasik and Hoshea. Achlu Velo Yizbau. Hiznu Velo Yifroitzu. Kolbiya she'ein ba, in our Gemara it says pirza, but there's another girsa, she'ein ba pritza. The word pritza over here has nothing to do with pritzas, but rather it's from a Lashon ufaratzta, yom of a keima, tzafoin of a negma. Ufaratzta means that you will, Baruch Hashem, spread out by having so many children, they're all going to spread out over the four corners of the world. Any bee that unfortunately cannot lead to that type of procreation, to that type of great volume of children, Eina Ella Bias. That's why it's in the Pasuk. Is no for Lo Yifroitzu. So they're living together with an islandess. Unfortunately, since it will not lead to Piria Beridia, it won't lead to children. For these purposes, it's considered to be a Zoina, which means that she is prohibited to go and marry a Koyin. So that being the case, we don't have to talk about in our Mishnah whether the Yavam lived with her or didn't live with her. The fact that she's an Ayonis already disqualifies her for Kohen. Yes, sir.
Why are we limiting her to being not permitted to a Kohen? She probably shouldn't be permitted to anybody because she cannot.
That's a very good point. Very
so
good
point. So why are we just limiting it to the priestly class?
Okay, so we had a Mishnah that discussed this, in fact, in Samach Aleph Amid Beis on the bottom. What the Gemara told us at that time is that if a person has not been mekayim the mitzvah of Piri Berivya, he should only marry a bas banim, someone who is able to have children. But if he has already been mekayim the mitzvah, then he can go and marry anyone, even a lady who unfortunately is sterile, because there's, in addition to the inyan of having peri v'ribya, there's an inyan of loitoyv heyoisa odom levadai. A person should not be on his own. A person should always have a lady to whom he is married, so that that brings simcha in the household and that brings so much other wonderful things. The Gemara says, whoever lives without a wife is without simcha, without a bracha, without other things. Anyway, this hopefully will incentivize all men folk and hopefully all lady folk to get married. Anyway, getting back to our Mishnah on Pei Aleph Omid Aleph, we start a brand new Mishnah. Zog the Mishnah, Asris Chama Koyein, Shenosa Bas Yisrael. Here we're not talking about Yibum V'chalitz anymore. So that's not the issue. What the issue over here is the Gabi being Machil Betruma. As we know, your regular Bas Yisrael, who is single, cannot eat Truma, just like a Yisrael kid eat Truma. But a Bas Yisrael who goes and marries a Koyin can eat Truma. The pasuk says, "V'koyin ki yikna nefesh kinyan kasboy hu yoichel boy." If a koyin goes and acquires something, either acquiring an eved or lahavdul, acquiring an isha or isha niknas b'shalif frachim, so then she can go nitrum. Here we're talking about a sris chama who's a koyin. He's a koyin. Okay, so that's great. But he's also sris chama.
Cool.
So the mishnah machila b'trum, he does give it to go and eat trum. What's the chiddush in this? Why would I have thought otherwise? Netshem will see that in the Gemara in another month. Rabbi Yosef Shimon Oimran. Now we go for a little on a tangent. We're going to talk a little bit about androgynous and about a tumtum. You all know androgynous means that he has both simanim. A tumtum has neither simanim. So the Mishnah tells us that Rabbi Yosef Shimon considered an androgynous to have the halacha, a status like a zohar, like a male. And as we'll see, another two Tanoim in the Mishnah will hold the same thing. We'll see that momentarily. And because an androgynous is a male, androgynous koyin shenos bas Yisrael, if he wants to marry the bas Yisrael, ma'achila b'truma, he can go and give her to eat truma. If an androgynous was a woman, he wouldn't be able to go and marry a bas Yisrael. And even if you said, well, I'm not really sure, is he a woman, is he a man, will allow for the marriage, but he wouldn't be able to go and give her truma because a Yisrael who eats truma chas v'sholom, if they do it amazing, umesu voiki yechaleluhu. So that's a big, big, heavy stuff. So the way Rabbi Yosef Reb Shimon hold androgynous is a vaday zohar, and therefore he can be machel the bas Yisrael the truma. It's not that simple, because we'll see in Yetchim and Igmar, will be a machloikis v'shlokish and Rabbi Yochanan, whether we're talking about truma di oiraisa or truma di rabbanan. We'll see that in Yetz Hashem shortly. In the meantime, Rabbi Yehuda Oimran, let's go off on a tangent to a tumtum. I'm sorry.
Saris Chama, so we're passing not like Rabbi Kiva now?
We're going back to the beginning of the Mishnah?
Yeah.
Machloikim between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lezer is talking about a Yavam and a Yavama situation. Does she fall the Yavam? Does she not fall the Yavam?
But he holds that it's...
But here we're not talking anymore about Yavam.
Right, but the Saris Chama,
yes,
according to Rabbi Kiva, didn't have Shasa Kosher.
True.
So therefore, it's a tzuadaka, I thought.
Very, very good question. So typically a tzuadaka is a sris adam. Tzuadaka means that was born normal, then unfortunately it was a car accident, and boom, then his area down below, either the gib got crushed or the testicles got crushed. And in fact, the Rashi points out your point. If you look at the Rashi at the top, third line, sris chama, koyin, I was sris adam. So in fact, our Mishnah talking about Sris Chama, where there is no Petzua Daka Isur, Sris Odom, Petzua Daka, that would be problematic. And in fact, we have the Mishnah already earlier, that a Petzua Daka who marries a young lady, he hassles her from...
So this Rabbi Kiva doesn't enter in here.
Does not enter in there.
Okay.
That's only a separate question. Gabi Hilchas Yim B'chalitza.
Okay.
Anyway, getting back to our Mishnah. So Yehuda Oime Tumtum Shenikah Benim Tzazachal Le'yachlet V'nu Shnei Shehu Kisaris. Here, Rabbi Yehuda said, don't forget, we're learning Mesechus Yevamos, don't forget about Chalitza. Said the Tumtum Shenikah Benim Tzazachal Ezech HaZachal Le'yachlet, he should not give Chalitza. The Gemara assumes that although we have found that he is a Zohar, that he is sterile, just by the fact that the Simonim were covered up until now, even though he has had now surgery and the Zachris now shows, but he won't be able to have a child anyway, and therefore he has a Din of Asaris, and therefore Lechovitz for Lechotzen, like we had in the previous Mishnah. Androgynous, let's go back to our favorite sugi, androgynous, Noisei Avaloi Nisa. Once again, the Tanakhama holds that androgynous is a Zohar, and therefore Noisei, he can marry a woman. Avaloi Nisa, he cannot be married as if he is a woman. He cannot be married by a man. He is a man, he can go marry a woman. However, he cannot go and marry a man. What happens if he would marry a man? Well, then he would be engaging in Mishkav Zohar, which is in fact what Reb Lezer says now in the Mishnah, besides another gift of Reb Lezer. If an androgynous lives with another man, you shouldn't think, well, maybe he's in a cave. And if it's the cave, okay, it's not the best thing in the world, he's living with a Zohar. There's no holy matrimony, okay, you don't get skila. No, no. The Blazer says he has a din of a vadei zohar. If he's a vadei zohar, if he lives with a zohar, he gets skila. So what's the machlokes then between the Tanakama that says that the androgynous can marry someone as if he is a man, and the Blazer, or the Blazer that says skila, as well as Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon that said earlier he can go and marry Bas Yisrael and Machila Betruma, and the Yetzishem Rashi says, Mefarish v'gemara, v'gemara mefarish. What's the machloikis between? Well, everybody seems to hold that androgynous is a man. So what's? Why do they repeat it in different words? Okay, getting back to the beginning of the mission, it says that a Sfris Chama Kohen who marries a Bas Yisrael, she can eat truma for truma pshita. I don't know why not. So if you had the problem of a Sfris Odom, which means a Ptsua Daka, which means a person who later in life never became a Petsua Daka due to an accident or what have you. So then, Tzudaka Lehovoi, Tzudaka Khrushchev, Chemikal Hashem, I can understand that she would become Psula Lekahuna, Psula Tehitruma, because she's over at least an Isser Lav according to that, according to everybody, and according to Rebbe Kiva, this would be escalated as if it was Riyacharis. All of that is talking about a Sris Odom, but a Sris Chama who was born sterile, no reason why he cannot go and marry Bas Yisrael, and therefore, why shouldn't he be machil b'truma like any koy? So tomorrow, now the same moided machil she'ena moided ena machil. Why would I say that? Because the same pasuk that we quoted before, the koyin ki yikne nefesh kinyan kaspoi hu yoichel boi vilid beisoi heim yoichlu belachmoi. Now this pasuk tells us two separate halachas. Halacha number one, that when a Kohen goes and marries a Bas Yisrael, and he pays for it, the Kohen ki yikne nefesh kinyan kasboy, he can go be machel the young lady b'tshuva. Thank you. The second part of the pasuk says, v'lid beisoy heim yoichlu b'lachmoy, v'lid beisoy means the children of this marriage, they'll be able to go and eat the truma, because the father is a Kohen. And Chazal darshan, v'lid beisoy heim ya'achilu b'lachmoy, that those children will be machal the mother in truma. So if eventually the father, the kohen, passes away, leaves over this Bas Yisrael, the almana, if they have children who are kohanim, if they have children, automatically they are kohanim, heim yachilu b'lachmoy, they allow the mami to eat. So I think that maybe just like the children are machal, and the husband is machal, oh, so maybe there's some sort of connection, vilid beisoy, that the husband has to be a person who can go and produce the vilid beisoy. He has to be a moilid type of guy. But if he's not a moilid type of guy, maybe he's not machil. So I might have thought, kamash malon, no, these are two separate halachas, one has nothing to do with the other. The important thing is the kohen went and purchased her, acquired her, I should say, by doing eris and nisuin, so therefore that's why she's machil. He is machil her. In addition to that, if and when they have children, then the children will also be machal. But one is totally separate from the other. Rabbi Yosef Shimon Oimram androgynous. We have the Mishnah androgynous of Koyin, who married a Bas Yisrael, Machila Betruma. So obviously we consider him halachically to be a Zohar. Omer Ish Lakish, Machila Betruma, Ve'in Machila B'choze B'shoik. Our Mishnah says that he can go and give it to Itruma. It doesn't say anything about Choze B'shoik. So bizman shebeis hamikdash kayim, when the kohanim received from every shlomim the chaz of ishaik, that is a portion that the kohanim get that they are allowed to go and share with their wives and their daughters. Typically, the matnas kahuna of the kodshim was something that the kahanim received, were kodshi kudishim, which is only mutter lezichre kahuna, because the b'shoik is part of kodshim kalim, they can give it to their wives, their women, their daughters,
as slaves.
Their slaves? I don't think so. But getting back to our Gemara, so Rish Lakish says, and our Mishnah, when it says truma, means dafke truma, but not chozav ishaki. Of course, the obvious question is, yamanishtana, what's the difference between one and the other? And the Gemara is going to ask that in another two lines. Stay tuned.
Rabbi Yochanan, when she comes back, she can't have chozav.
Exactly, but we're now talking about before she's getting back. Okay. That getting back means that unfortunately she's divorced, or that
chozav is going to Israel.
You know, children,
it's about going to Israel. It's about coin, it's about Israel.
Yeah.
We could be talking about Baskoin as well. Your husband is Baskoin, is a coin, and she's a Baskoin. Anyway, Rabbi Yochanan Oimer, Af Machila Bechaz Bishoy. No. Since this is a bona fide marriage, this is an androgynous, yeah, he's called androgynous, but he is a male, just like in a Machel Bechaz Bishoy. So Chayra, Rabbi Yochanan says, Manishtan, what's the difference? Great Gemara Reish Lakish, Maishla Chaz Bishoy, dear Isa. True Menami, dear Isa. I mean, either he's a male coin or he's not a male coin. How do you split between Chaz Bishoik and Truma? Everything Malcolm Maiskinan Betruma Bizman Hazed Rabbanon. Oh, Reish Lakish says that Ar Tanakam, even though he says androgynous is a male, but only for purposes of Truma de Rabbanon, but not for purposes of Truma de Oiraisa. Abizman Shemes Migishkai, am I? Loy. No, you wouldn't be able to have Truma either. Not only would the androgynous not feed Chaz Bishoik, not even truma the oyrais. Frank Yimara, if that's the case, why would Rish Lakish say, yeah, the Mishnah, what it says, give truma, yo. Truma, yes, but not chaz v'shoik.
Yeah, talk about truma.
Oh, why didn't Rish Lakish say, machil betruma, drabanon? They machil betruma, diaraisa. Wouldn't it make sense to talk about the truma itself? Listen, me, no, men don't want betruma, drabanon, betruma, diaraisa. What? Says the Yimara, you have a good point. That's in fact what Rish Lakish meant, and Rish Lakish added one more nekuda, one more point, and that is kishu machila machila betruma bezman hazeh rabbana. Nowadays, where unfortunately there is no truma d'oraisa, you give truma d'rabbana. However, bezman shebeis hamikdash kayem, when there was chozav v'shoik, the ein machila bezman Chaz v'shoik, which means the times of the Beis Hamikdash, v'afilu b'truma d'rabbanon. At that time, even truma d'rabbanon would have been prohibited if the androgynous married a bas yisrael. Why? So ma'asi li'oyichla b'truma d'oraisa, because I'm afraid that there might be a confusion. After all, truma. Do people really differentiate between truma d'oraisa and d'rabbanon? They know you got to give it to the kohen. They assume it's basically all the same. So if you're going to allow them to go and eat truma rabbanon, then the women, the wives of the kohanim, are going to go and eat. Wives of the kohanim who are androgynouses, they're going to go and eat. Now in truma rabbanon, they're going to come to eat truma d'oraisa. So therefore, when Reish Lakish started off, Am Reish Lakish machila b'truma v'machila b'chaz b'shoy, you have to add a couple of words to explain what Reish Lakish meant b'milua. Ma'achila b'truma means you can only go and give this wife truma drabat, not truma d'oraisa. After all, androgynous, although 95% I assume that he is a male, and that's why I'm allowing the wife to go and eat truma drabanan, but I'm still not 100%. And a suffik d'oraisa l'chumra. I can't just go willy-nilly and say, okay, well, very truma, who cares, blah, blah, blah. No, truma is the big-time stuff. Heavy duty stuff. Therefore, truma d'oraisa I will not allow. And as much as mikdash kayim, I won't even allow truma d'rabanan. And that's when he says that machila b'chaz v'shoik means at the zman that chaz v'shoik applies, which means at the time the base of mikdash is standing, can't even be machil b'truma d'rabanan. Because otu, I'm afraid they might come to eat truma d'oraisa. Anyway, that's all Reish Lakish. No. The kavana of our Mishnah, and that's of course the Poshe Pshad in the Mishnah, that androgynous is a full-fledged male, and machil im betruma d'oraisa, because the Chachamim gave an androgynous the status of a zocher vadai, no safik. Therefore, you can go and even be machil not only Truma, Chaz V'Shoik, Pei Aleph Amid Aleph. We are 6 lines from the bottom of the Amid. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan L'Rish Lakish, Mi Sabris Truma Bizman Azeh Drabana. Do you hold that Truma Bizman Azeh today is Midrabana? Amalei En, yeah, that's exactly what I hold. Zukteh Rish Lakish, I'll prove it to you. Shani Shoinen, because there's a braisa that says, Eagle, Igulim Oile. What means an eagle? Eagle is a cake. We have often in Masechtas Bav Metzia and Eila Metzias an igule deveila, which means a cake of pressed and crushed figs. In the good old days, and perhaps even today, I'm not such a major expert on figs, but what they used to do is after they harvested figs, they left them to dry out in the fields during the summer months in the Mediterranean area, where it typically did not rain the whole summer, so they would let it go and dry out. And then when it came September, October, when rains were about to begin, they quickly collected them, assembled them, crushed them, pressed them together, and made igule dvela. That means they made such a cake of pressed figs, and they would go and sell them.
Even more Shabbos we had, where you threw it against the wall, and the question is, if it's stuck there.
Zerika, right, Zerika.
Was that a full eagle, or that was just one or two dveilas?
Oh, two dveilas, yeah.
Okay, I don't think the eagle would have stuck. I think it would have plotzed. But anyway, thank you for reminding us about that dveila from the Masechta Shabbos. So what was the story over here? So says Reb Reish Lakish, eagle the igulim oila. What happens if you have one eagle shel truma, which falls into a bunch of igulim of chulin? Normally, says Reish Lakish, we have a famous rule: kol shedarkoi limnois mekadesh. We're going to talk about that in much greater detail in another few lines and on the Amid Beis. What does all of that mean? What that means is that, as we know, typically min hatoira there's a din of bitul baroyv, achrei rabim lahatois. So if you have a minor entity getting mixed into a majority entity, typically it becomes bottom. However, there are many, many exceptions to that rule. And one of the exceptions to the rule is if you have a dover choshuv, it doesn't become bottom because it's so choshuv. Who are you to come mavatel me? I'm a choshuv guy. So, of course, what's the definition of a dover choshuv? Jeff, I just saw you now. We're on the bottom of Pei Aleph Amid Aleph, last 5 or 6 lines from the bottom of the Amid. I'm not accusing you of just joining us now. You're probably with us already the last 45 minutes. I just wanted you to know, even though we only started about 30 minutes ago, but on the bottom of Pei Aleph Amid Aleph. So, what's it din by a Dover Choshev? How do you define a Dover Choshev? So we're going to have a machloikis between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, Aliba Dremeir. We'll see this Amir Shem on the Amid Beis shortly. Whether you hold Es Shadarka Limna Shanino or Kol Shadarka Limna Shanino. Es Shadarka Limna Shanino means if you have a, for instance, a food item that is exclusively sold either by the number or the mushal by the weight, but never sold by estimating, by omit. If, for instance, if you go to your grocer or you go to the corner peddlers that go and sell their fruit and vegetables, they can go and take a bag, put in all a whole bunch of stuff, and they see it's more or less a pound, throw in another couple, so they don't do it precisely. Yes, eventually it's a pound and a half, whatever. But if they throw in a couple more, a couple less, you know, it's more of an omed situation. There are certain things, however, which are so precious and so valuable, you don't want to lose a penny on it. You only do it by the number. If you're going and selling potatoes, or diamonds, sure.
Eggs.
If you're selling eggs, eggs you only sell by the dozen. You don't just go and throw them into the bag. Well, if it's 5 or 10 or 12, whatever it is, take it home. Yeah, for instance, when it comes to oranges, you can go and buy sometimes 10 in a big bag, 10 for $1, 10 for $2, whatever that's to be. Or some stores, it's a precious orange, they're not going to just go and sell it 10 or 20, they might go and weigh it and see what the weight is. It's 59 cents a pound. Whatever, you get the idea. The point is, those things which are very, very, very choshev, which are never, ever sold by estimation, but they're very precise, they want to make sure I have the exact weight or the exact number, then they do not become bottle. Now those are what we call es shadarkish limnoi shemino. Es shadarkish means they're exclusively only sold by the volume or by the weight, never by omid, never by estimation. There are some things, however, which are kol shadarka l'mishanin. Kol shadarka l'mishanin means that, yes, b'derech klal, generally, most stores would only go and sell it by the weight or by the volume. But there are some stores where they do just go and say, okay, come on, I got to close the store for the day. Take 5 or 10 of them, shadel, pay me $12, we're done, goodbye. So that means that sometimes they do, most of the time, you're right, they actually go and count them, very precise, but once in a while, they're not so careful. That's what we call kol shadarka l'mishanin. As we'll see in the Gemara, Reish Lakish holds kol shadarkai, and therefore, igul b'igulim, generally, people go and sell by the number. They go and take, if you go into the Devela store, you want to go and buy some figs, you go to your grocer, he says, well, how many do you want? That doesn't really matter. What do you mean it doesn't really matter? I'm charging each one $4.99. You better know exactly how many you want. Oh, I want five. One, two, three, four, five. They sell you five. He says, Reish Lakish, since igul, the igulim ole, if you had an igul of Dvela of Truma, it's ole among other igulim. If it were to be Truma de Oiraisa, it would not be ole. Because it would be such a dover choshev, since you typically sell igulim by the number, very great precision, and it's Truma de Oiraisa, it wouldn't be ole. If it fell into a bunch of igulim of Chulin, I would say they all have a din of dimua, of suffic truma, and you'd have to sell it or give it to a kohen. A Yisrael would not be allowed to eat it. The fact that it says ola shows you that this is truma dirabanan. Now, the truth of the matter is, since we're talking about figs, figs by definition are dirabanan. Why are they dirabanan? Because the only things which are diraisa are dogon, tirosh, v'yitzar. Only those three mean it. Dogon means grain, tirosh, v'yitzar means wine or oil of olives. Those are the only diaraisa according to Rashi. Rambam disagrees, other Rishonim disagree, but that's how Rashi learns throughout Shas, that those are the only three which are diaraisa. So igulim b'igulim, since we're talking about figs, even though figs of course are of the Shiva, of the Minam, Shiva Minam Shenishtapchu ben Eretz Yisrael, but still, according to Rashi, according to most Rishonim, that's Truma Drabana. What our Gemara is telling us is, said Reish Lakish a moment ago, that Truma Derabanan, at the time when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, we were choshesh that people would have confusion, and therefore we gave it a din of a Truma D'Araisa. Therefore, whatever applies to D'Araisa, we'd say the same thing to Derabanan. So if that's the case, why do we allow these Eagle B'Egulim to be Ola? Ola means to become bottled. The reason why the Gemara uses the term Ola means you can't just say, okay, it fell into a bunch of Egulim, just leave it there and the whole thing is chut. Ola means you got to go and be mal, you have to take at least one of them out, and say, I'm going to designate this one for Truma. But otherwise it becomes bottle. Why does it become bottle? It's the chasimen that Truma bizman azed rabbanon, and if I'm not goizer, figs, otu, dog, and tirish, v'yitzar, matzmai raya, says Reish Lakish, Truma bizman azed rabbanon. Abba Leir of Yoichanan says, with all due respect, valin anishoina, I have another braisa, which we're going to quote on the Amid Beis, which talks about chaticha bechatichois oile. And that chaticha, says Rashi, is talking about a carbon chatos that got mixed up with other, either chulin pieces of meat or with chatos temeya getting mixed into chatos tehoira. What's the din over there? Now, nobody's going to tell me a carbon chatos is drabanan. There's no such thing as a carbon drabanan. All carbonis are min hatoira. And therefore, if you have a chaticha of chatos being ole in a bunch of other chatichos, that means it becomes bottle. Nobody's going to tell me that that's drabana, that's diraisa. So you see, Reish Lakish, you're wrong. We're not talking about drabana, we're talking about diraisas. Now, what's the reason why you think that by diraisa it would not be ola, it would not be bottle? Because misavis kosher darka limnishininu. You think that anything that typically is sold only by the volume or by the weight that people counted with precision, that's what you think is not ola. But you're wrong. It's eshedark limnishinir. The only things which are a dover choshev, which don't become bottle, are those things which are exclusively sold by the number or the weight and never by estimate. However, the eagle that you're talking about, yes, usually, traditionally, it's sold by the number, but in some stores and under certain circumstances, people are a little bit more carefree and say, just take it, It doesn't matter. $3, $4, $5 $12, $15. Goodbye. Zuktibar Mahi. What are we talking? Listen to their kosher darker. Listen to their esher darker. Did not. We have a Mishnah. Mishayuloi chavile tiltson shel kloya kerem. Chavilim are bundles. Tiltson is what's called in English fenugreek. Even Rashi has a French term which is like fenugreek. If you see Rashi at the bottom, there's two lines. Tiltson fenugreek, which is a min kidney, you see, it's a certain type of bean. Lamate kagdeira ba, and it's used for spice or for condiments to go and add to question sweetener. I mean, the word matik usually means to sweeten, but in terms of kadeira, it could be flavor. Anyway, it's used to go and flavor your foods. So if you have a chavile tiltson, and they were kiloya kerem, which means that they grew in a vineyard, so they are kilayim. No, kilayim is aser, and the halacha of kilayim is tuktash hamaleya, and the gemara dash of tuktash hamaleya means tukaresh, they have to be burned. Lisreifim. Okay. Yidaku. When I'm in Nefaru Bachiris, the chavile tiltson, which were kilayim, mixed into regular chavile tiltson. What do you do now? Cool on Yidaku Divremei. Remei says, all of them now have the status of Safik Kalayim, and you gotta burn all of them. And we'll see this for Rameir in one more line. The Chacham Omer, no, Yalu Biachanu Messiah. As long as you have 201. Meaning, if you had one Chavile Tiltzon, it wouldn't be Chavile, it would be a Chavilo, presumably of Tiltzon, getting mixed into 200 regular Chavile Tiltzon, which were not Kalayim, it would be bottled. And then you would have no problem. You wouldn't have to burn all of them. Now, why did Rameir say Kulam Yidkoshay? Rameir Oime Kol Shadarka Limesh Mekadesh. Because of the fact that typically Chavilim bundles are sold by the number, one bundle and two bundles and 12 bundles and 15 bundles and 100 bundles. Ah, Kol Shadarka Limesh, it's a Dover Choshev. Since it's Dover Choshev, it does not become Bata. And therefore Mekadesh. Mekadesh doesn't come from the Lashon of Kedusha or Kedushin. It comes from the word Pentuktash Hamaleya. Tuktash Himalaya means that by Kilayim you have to go and burn them. So here, Tukaresh. It's a culture, Darkas, Limnois, Mekadesh, would cause them all to be susceptible to be burned because of the fact that it doesn't become bottle. There are only six things which are so precious and so expensive that people are machshiv that do not become bottle. What are those six? We'll see in another moment. Rabbi Kiva Oymed is one more. There's Shiva. Now, what are the six and the seven? Elohim, Egoize Perach, Rimoine Baden, Chavioi Stumais, Chalfei Tarden, Kulchei Kruv, the last Yevanis. Those are the six according to the Tanakh. Egoize Perach, Egoizim, of course, are nuts. Rashi learns Perach means the name of a mokin, of a place. Toises, however, brings another pshat that Egoize Perach means Egoizim that you can go and easily break with your fingers, and therefore some say Egoize Perach really means pistachio nuts, because Egoize Perach are things that you can go and be nefrochim biyad. You have this choice, is here the choice. Whenever you have this Gemara about the machloikis between the mayor and the chum, this comes up a few times in Shas, you always have the same machloikis, Rashi, and Toises. What does it mean? Anyway, so that's Egoize Perach. Rimoine Baden are Rimoinim. Rimoinim, everybody knows, are pomegranates that come from a place called Baden. Chavya Stumais means that you have sealed barrels, typically of wine or of oil. By the fact that they happen to be sealed, they are very precious, because obviously we've been very, very careful not to let tumut to come into it, not let anybody touch it to be menasach it. Very precious. It's been landed in my warehouse or in my cellar. Very careful. Anyway, as a din of Dover Choshem Oit. V'chalfei Tarden. Now, Tarden today, I believe in Eretz Yisrael, they think it's spinach. But in the times of Chazal, Tarden, I believe, was beets. Anyway, so chalfei means bundles of them or whatever. The kulchei kruv. Kruv is cabbage. A kelach usually means the stem, so stalk. So you're selling the cabbage, not like they sell it today, but still on the stem or on the stalk. And the last Yevanis. Adlas is either a gourd or a pumpkin or a melon, all from the same family, and Yevanis means Greek. So all of these things were very, very precious at the time of the Mishnah, the Gemara that we're talking about, and therefore they never, ever became bottled. Zoyzuk the Chacham. Rabbi Kiva adds one more, Rabbi Kiva, Oyum Ma'af, Kikresh or Balabais. If you have loaves of bread, for instance, that were baked by a private balabas as opposed to in a store, because if you go in a store, all 1,000 breads, all 1,000 challahs, all look exactly the same. Mashenkin, if you have a balabas, every balabasta does it a little bit differently. They braid it differently, different size, different texture, different this, different that. So those are also davar chashiv, and therefore it does not become bottle. Now, among these six or seven, says the Mishnah, the Braisa, Haruyin la orla lekloyakerim, kloyakerim. Some of them are orla halachas, some of them are kelayim halachas. Orla is things that have to do with trees, because orla is peiros. Kloyakerim, things which grow in the ground, which interfere with the growth of the vines and the grapes in the vineyard. So Rashi already takes away the mystery in these six or seven, which are orla and which are kelayim. This is Rashi, third narrow line of the Rashi, Ruin La'arla, Kigoyin, Engoyzim, nuts, Rimoy, pomegranates, Vechovioys, which are full of either wine or of oil, they're Mekachim, Oysim, Mesakshen, Mishim, Arla. If they happen to be within their first 3 years of growth, since these are all considered to be Peirois Ilan, it's a din of Arla. And if they got mixed in these Egoyze Perach with other Egoyzim, or the Rimoinim with other Rimoinim, and so on and so forth, it would never become bottle because he's a Dover Choshev Mo'oit. What means Rimoinim Klayakem? So the next Rashi is going, Tardin, the beets, the kruv, the cabbage, the las, the gourd family, the pumpkin, or what have you, Dover Choshev, but these don't grow on trees. So any of you that you didn't know whether they grow on trees or not, you see a Fadish from Mark Gemara that they don't, and therefore you make Hadama on the latter three, as opposed to Oit. Okay, so if they, however, grew within a vineyard, then they could cause kelayim in the kerem.
So chavios, even though they're filled with wine, are asur mishum orla, not kelaya kerem. It's kind of counterintuitive, isn't it? If it's chavios and wine, we're only talking about they're susceptible to orla problems.
I'm assuming that Rashi holds that chavios can be both. However, it could not be among the kelayim ones, the targum, kruv, and glass, could not be orla. But the Chavi Stumas, if they are full of wine, or of wine, then of course we're talking about a vineyard.
Right, so somebody else grew in them.
Yeah, I think you're right. Anyway, so that's the end of the Mishnah, the Braisa, the Machlokes here between Remeir and the Chum. Remeir, remember, says it's a Mishnah. Remeir says Kol Shadar Kalim Shanino means not just these six or seven, anything which is a Dover Choshev that you go and sell by the volume, by the number. That's a Dover Choshev and does not become bottle. The Chum say, no, only these six or seven. So says the Gemara now. Getting back to the Machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan Sobar, Es Shadar Kalim Meshaninu, Reish Lakish Sobar, Kol Shadar Kalim Meshaninu. Which means, we have Machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, what did Remeir say on the second line of the Amud? When it said at the top of the Amud, Shoyer Meir Oimer, by the Chavile Tilson, if they got mixed in with other chavilim, and the chavilim tiltzim that we were talking about, unfortunately, were kelayim. They got mixed into regular chavilim tiltzim, which were not kelayim. Says the mayor, all of them go to Eish, to Sreifa. Why? Because Kol Shadar Kalim Shanino. Because you go and count, typically, chavilim tiltzim. So now, there's a machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, the girsa, when the mayor says, Kol Shadar Kalim Shanino. That's our girsa, and that was Reish Lakish's girsa. Rabbi Yochanan's girsa was S Shadar Kalimnais, not Kol Shadar Kalimnais. What difference does that make? Like we sit back on the Amud Aleph. The Rabbi Yochanan said S Shadar Kalimnais, only those things which are exclusively sold by the number. Nobody in their right mind would ever think of going and selling them other than by the minyan. But Reish Lakish said, no, as long as sometimes you go and sell it, not by minyan, but by Omed. Omen means by estimation, that's already enough. As long as 75% of the time people typically sell it, maybe 90% of the time, typically people sell it by the minyan, by the number, even though sometimes that's all enough to make it a Dover Choshev. Let's look quickly at the Rashi here on the left-hand margin. Rabbi Yochanan Sovar Eshadar Kalimnais, about a quarter down the Omud. Rabbi Yochanan Sovar Eshadar Kalimnais. Shem Yuchad B'minyan Shanino, the Loi Batel. Dafka, things which are miyuchad, they don't become bottle. Hilka chatichas v'ikulim, avagav shadar kundim nois, the ikulei deveila that we spoke about in the Amud Aleph, and the chatichas of the basar chatas, even though typically dar kundim nois, hoil shadar kundim nois, be oimid at times the storekeeper may not be so precise, and he'll say, picks up a piece of meat and says, this feels like a pound, I'll give it to you for $7.99 a pound, or whatever it happens to be, or maybe $8.99, $12.99, $23.99, $45.99, whatever it happens to be. But the point is, are we talking about a chaticha of meat and an eagle of dvela? Even though normally, you're right, we'd be very precise, sometimes they go and do it by it. And therefore, since sometimes they do it by it, say the chacham, say, not chacham, says Rabbi Yochanan, therefore they become water. And that's why in the case of the eagle in Gluid Vela, in the Chatich and Chatichois, it's Ola, it becomes Bach. For the Shlokisov, a Vaitan Rashi, Kol Shadakim Nois. I feel the Prokim Shaninu, even though sometimes you're right, they go and sell it by Oymid, it's Loi Batel, because that's the Kol. Kol Shadakim means that typically the Derech is. Esh Shadakim means always. Hilkach, Ego, Iso, Gadaita, Truma, Manu, the Dereisa, Loi Hoi Batel. If it was the Araisa, it would not become Batel. So therefore, getting back to our Omid Aleph, Reish Lakish says, I have a Raya, the Trum Bizman Zed Rabbanan, from the fact that it says, Eagle be Igulim is Ola, says Rabbi Yochanan, ach, Trum Bizman Zed is the Araisa. And our Mishnah is talking about Bizman Zed the Araisa. And when the Tanoim of our Mishnah said that you're allowed to go away, and androgynous is macha, but truma, he meant truma de rice and not truma de rabbanon, and therefore also chose b'shoik, de rice, de rice, de rice. I, Reish Lakish says, I have a rife, an eagle, but yigulim oiler. Says Rabbi Yochanan, even if it would be a de rice, dicker truma, it would be bottle, because it's not an eshadarkalim, it's a koshadarkai. And when Rabbi Meir said, what does not become bottle, he said, eshadarkai, exclusive, that 100% of the time you're always minor. But eagle and chatira. Yeah, most of the time you're right, but sometimes they should. Therefore, that can become bottle after all. So, Kimara, we quoted already the brisa of the eagle b'igulim. What is this brisa of the chaticha, my chaticha? The sign you have a brisa. We're now in the middle of the omud. Chaticha shel chatos temeyosh in arvo b'meyah chaticha shel chatois tehoirois. One piece of chatos temeyah. Nebuch, the chatos became tomei. A dead sheretz and a veiler touched it, whatever, it came to me. It got mixed in with 100 chatichas chatois to high rights. Mechain, prusa shel lechem upon him, tmeya. He had one shtickle of a lechem upon him on Shabbos that became to me. And it got mixed in with meya, prusa shel lechem upon him to high rights. What happens now? Since it's a tanakama, tale, it becomes bottle. That's the chaticha bechatichas that Rabbi Yochanan is referring to, it becomes bottle. Rabbi Yehuda Oymaloi Tal. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, it does not become bottle. The reason why Rabbi Yehuda holds it doesn't become bottle has nothing to do with Eshadarka, Koshadarka, but has to do with Rabbi Yehuda's halacha throughout Mesechtes Chulin, that min the minoi loy bottle. Since this is a shtikal chatas, and this is a shtikal chatas, this is a shtikal lecha upon him, this is a shtikal lecha upon him, min the minoi loy bottle. We'll talk about that another moment.
You say the tumas is pashas. Because it's a reshaw of the boat.
Yeah, but it's not touching the others. It's just mixed in.
It's shrink wrapped. It's in cellophane.
Oh, okay.
It's here on the table. We have 12 pieces of chatas. One of them is tame.
But that would be
a very, very moving touching situation. Yes. Here we're just talking about that it did not touch, it didn't move. It's an inanimate piece of chaticha, and it didn't go and touch anything else. Rabbi Yehuda Ima Loi Tal, because of min b'mina. Remember, the ratio was talking about tahira and tameya. Here, talking about chatas tahira in chule got mixed in 100 tahirais. Not exactly sure how this really occurred, because a chatas can only be eaten in the base of Migdash in the Azara. If it goes out of the Azara, it becomes possible b'yoytze. Normally, they didn't bring in chulin. They had to bring chulin bazara. So, how did the two get mixed in? Ich weiß nicht, but it doesn't make a difference. Maybe it's more theoretical than practical.
It makes more sense to about shlomim, touching
Okay, but we have the case, right? We cannot go and delete the word. We can't change the word. That's what it is. Now, the Isra of bringing chulin bazara, by the way, means that you're not allowed to
bring a carbon.
Morris says you can bring ketchup and mustard.
Right.
So perhaps to go and supplement.
Maybe he brought a sandwich.
So maybe that's what happened. He brought in a sandwich, a stick of meat, which looked exactly like the chatas that they thought he had practiced lunch. Anyway, so chaticha shel chatas toyish and sarv mei chaticha shel chulin toyrais, they got mixed up. Diviakoil loy tala. Everybody would agree in the Sefer, it's not Ola. We'll talk about that in a moment, but let's talk about the Reish. Ketani Mias Reisha Tala. It says in the Reish that it is Ola. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, this is fine. The reason why it becomes bottle, because a chaticha, said Rabbi Yochanan, is not one of those eshedarkois, it's one of those kol shedarkois, and therefore it can become bottle. Even a diarais, it can become bottle. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan said to Reish Lakish, don't make me a raya from eagle be eagle and then it becomes bottle, because we're talking about a diarais. How do I know we're talking about a diarais? Because chaticha b'chatichas is certainly diarais. There's no such thing as chaticha chatas drabanon. And nevertheless, it says that it's ola in the reisha. So I show you, Rabbi, I show you Reish Lakish, that by definition, even when you're talking about dinam and isurim and halachas diarais, they can also become bottle. And lechoyer, this is a starker raya to Rabbi Yochanan, a shvera kasha on Reish Lakish. Everything Gemara on Rav Chiya Barei Rav Huna Benimucha. It's talking about that these chatichos started dissolving, and they didn't have that pristine original solid shape and form that it had. It's dissolving. Once it's dissolving, it loses its chashivas. Once it loses its chashivas, then that's when it can become bottle. But if it happens to be strong and wonderful, it wouldn't become bottle. Pray to Mori, Hachi, my time in the Rebuta, why the Rebuta hold in the ratio that it does become bottle? That's Rebuta, the Tamei, the Yama, Min, but Min, I lie, bottle. Pray to Mori, Avaloi, Nimuach, my. What would be the Lacha if it did not become Nimuach? My, Loi, Tale. Then, you're telling me, according to Reish Lakish, it would not be bottle. Why wouldn't it be bottle? Because the Dover Chashiv, Kol Shadar, Kalim, Neshaninu. So, Ad, the Tani, so why did the Raisa have to go from a case of Ava chaticha shel chatas tohoyrish and it's Arab and mei chaticha shel chulin tohoyrish loy ta'ale niflik v'nisna b'didda? Why don't we just go talk about the very same case? Meaning, the ratio of this price was talking about, you had a chaticha shel chatas that got mixed up. What was the case in the ratio?
With
chatos tohoyrish and tamayos. What was the second case in the brisa?
Chulin, chulin, and kachim.
Exactly.
Kachim
together with chulin. Safreti Gemara, if you're telling me that the whole reason in the reisha, the reason why it becomes bottle, is because we're talking about nimucha, then why do we have to say that the sefer is talking about a case of dafka, kachim, and chulin? Let's stay with the same case of tahoyrais together with tamayos, and distinguish according to Reish Lakish. If they happen to be nimuach, then they become bottle. But if they happen to be in their original pristine form of that gutish tikkul pleish of achatos, then it doesn't become bottle, because kol shadar kalim neshanino, and therefore it wouldn't become bottle. So frey timara, adetani av achatich shel chatzah tahoyrish, nesav mei chatich shel chulim tahoyrais, lo itala, nifak v'nisim didita, let's stay in the same case, the same subject. So Timara, you're right, we could have done that, but Tahoyrois b'Tahoyrois, he wanted to go and tell us the halacha of Tahoyrois b'Tahoyrois, that there the halacha is that it's loy tale, it doesn't become bottle. Why tak is why my mishtana? What the brother Shai is bothered by, which he's already verbalized, and what Brother Barry and everybody else is thinking in their minds, what's the issue? Why is there a different manishtana between the Reisha and the Sefer? Says Rashi, because in the Reisha we're talking about a Hefsin Merubah. What's a Hefsin Merubah? If we're not going to allow for Bittul, then since one Shtikl Chatis is Tomei, it got mixed in with other Meya Chaticha Shel Chatas Tehoirais, if we're going to go and say that all of them have a Din of Tumah, what are we going to have to do with all these Chatas? Gonna have to burn them all. You won't be able to salvage any one of these 101 pieces of the chatas. Masha Enkin in the Sefer, when we're talking about a chaticha shel chatas tohira, that got mixed in with mea chaticha shel chulin tohirais, you'll have to say they all have a din of a suffik truma. Do you have to destroy them? I'm sorry, suffik chatas. I meant that it's suffik that only a kohen can go and eat. Thank you for the correction.
You also have the time limit on it, so it's not. It's so. So
can you please deal with me? You know, I'm trying to just finish the sentence. Truma, sit. Wait one moment. This Brisa says, because of the fact that we're talking about chulin mixed into
chatas with chatas.
Chatas, which is kachim, together with regular pieces of meat, which are chulin, if we're going to deem them all to be chatas, Do we have to throw them in the garbage? Do we have to go and burn them? No. We can go and sell them to the Kohanim. The Kohanim can go and eat from it. Rashi agrees that there will be a discount because there's a much smaller group of people that can go and eat it, and that would be Kohanim. Nobody else can eat it. Barry adds to that, not only that, but there's a very short time limitation. You can only eat Liyom V'Layla.
And Zichrei Kohanim.
And only Zichrei Kohanim. And only in the Beis HaMikdash. Everything is 100% accurate. But Lamaisa, there is an audience that can eat it. Therefore, yes, you will be able to go and sell it. Not for the high rates that you go and sell chulin, but for the rates that you can go and sell truma. Chatos, what would be the din? So you can sell it to Kohanim. So yes, there would be a discount. Rashi says it would be a hefsin muat, not the hefsin maruba. So in the hefsin maruba case of the Reish and the Mishnah, we say it does not become bottle. It does become bottle. So that therefore we should be able to go and salvage all of these pieces of chatos and not say that they're all tamei and you have to go and burn it. However, in the case of the Sefer, well, you don't have to burn them. You can go and give them to Kohanim. That's why Leitala, and that's what he wanted to tell you, the Torah of the Torah, that it has that special rule because it's Hefsin Mu'at and not a Hefsin Merubah.
How can we make that distinction between
Wonderful day, everybody.